everyone, I'm Darian Gold, and welcome to All Things Pilates Season 6. As we dig deeper into the life of a contrologist, this season's guest list shares what the Pilates methodology can offer to anyone who desires health and wellness. On this show, we'll explore, seek, and investigate what's possible when we incorporate contrology into our lives. Most of what we know about Joseph Pilates' efforts to get his contrology system as a beneficial health program came from those who studied with him. We also know that Joe attempted to get the medical profession to adopt his system. However, what we really don't know about was his day-to-day life. In the early 1960s, Joseph and Clara Pilates welcomed an assistant named Lawrence Hayward into their lives. Lawrence spent so much time with Joe and Clara, documenting Joe's work, that he eventually moved in with them, spending a great deal of time in the contrology studio. On this first episode of Season 6, we'll hear new compelling information about Joe's contrology system that will make us all scratch our heads and think, there's way more to this contrology story than most of us have been told. And because Lawrence himself can't be here to talk about this part of the contrology story, I've asked Dale Matzkow, who was a student and close friend of Lawrence's. Hello, Dale. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Darian. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. How and when did you meet Lawrence Hayward?
So I initially met Lawrence in 2010 via a phone call. I had started to hear rumors that there was a Canadian teacher that could study with Joseph and Clara Pilates. And I took it upon myself to research it and get a hold of him and ask if he would take me on as an apprentice.
And where was he at that time?
He was in Kingston, Ontario.
And you were?
I was in New York City.
Does that mean that you would have gone to Canada to work with him?
I only went to Canada I went several times to Canada, but I only went to his place one time.
Most of your communications were by phone?
Yes, correct.
Will you fill us in then how Lawrence came to meet Joe and Clara?
Sure. So he initially was studying dance with Hanya Holm. And Hanya Holm agreed to take him on as a student. He had a scholarship. He, if I'm not mistaken, he did two consecutive scholarships placement programs with her.
Is this New York City or Canada?
This was New York City.
Okay, of course.
And she had told him at that time that she had started to speak about Joseph Pilates, and she said that he might be looking for an assistant. And he said he waited and waited. She always promised him an introduction. The introduction never came. So he decided to go and search him out for himself.
Did he go, obviously, for a job as an assistant? Or did he go to the contrology studio with a dancer's mindset and then see what was going on in the studio and thinking, oh, I want to do this work?
I think a little bit of both. Yes. And he had a knee injury and shin splints that were very bad. And so I believe that the introduction was for a rehabilitation aspect first and foremost. But then as soon as he met him, that was it.
Did they hit it off right away?
Yes. So their initial meeting, Joseph was at the studio. Lawrence came and he left him waiting a few minutes and he said, stay here, I'll be right back. And then went off and did something. And Lawrence said he just stood there like, what is happening? I'm just standing here. And he came back a few minutes later and said, tell me your birthday. And he asked him for his birthday, he gave him his birthday. And Lawrence was 29 at the time that he was first introduced to Joseph. And left, he went into the back and he said,
wait a second.
He was researching
He left him standing for the second time.
Yes.
Oh my.
After he got his birthday, went in the, he said he could see him. He was looking through some books and making some notes, and he came back out and he said, "I've been waiting for you."
Oh,
yes. Yes. So there was a definite meant to be aspect and spiritual connection between them. And that is something that Lawrence had always said from the very beginning.
And then what happened after? So this was all while he's standing, then Joe goes away, then Joe comes back and says, based on his chart, "You're the one I've been thinking about, waiting for. I've been waiting for.
Specifically waiting for." Yes.
Oh, that sounds like my love life. So so then does he go back into the studio with him? What happens after that?
He tells him to go downstairs and he has to get fitted. So he's got a pair of shorts with him, but he tells him that he has to go downstairs to get shoes and another pair of shorts. So I did some research and there was a store that was located within the area. I'm happy to send you the information later once I see it again. But he went downstairs and got like a ballet slipper.
And, like we see Joe and hit the photos.
Yes. Yes. And he was fitted for that and came back upstairs. And I think he said it was pricey for him because it was like $1.75.
Uh-huh.
But he had just spent a lot of his money getting to New York on a bus ticket.
From Ontario.
So, yes. Yes.
Did he start classes right away after he was suited up?
Right away.
Oh.
So one of the pictures that I have, I believe it's on the website. We're updating the website right now, but it'll be up and you can see it there. That was his first hour with Joe and Claire in studio. His first hour. He already had him working out.
Does he describe that first time?
He said it was intense, but he said he was up for the challenge and he was focused. He said Joe was incredibly energetic and not forceful, but direct, we'll say, but very energetic about him being there. And I think he finally felt that he could push him without even really knowing, but he could push him. And Lawrence was tall. He's like 6 foot. So he was tall.
Joe was just 5'5", right?
Yes.
Okay, so he liked those
five,
big
seven,
men.
5'5".
Oh, 5'5", okay.
Yeah.
And he had an hour of contrology.
He had 45 minutes of contrology.
Okay.
But I think he lingered after because he did say that he stuck around for talking. There was a couple of people working, but he said they were gone very quickly. So it was kind of just the two of them and Clara. Clara was there.
Did Clara assist in any of the teaching?
That day? No. She took a picture.
Oh, she documented already.
Yes. So she took a picture.
So Joe only taught 45-minute classes. He never taught an hour.
I don't know that to be true. That was his first session, but he said it was 45 minutes.
And did he talk about going back to dance class or Hanya home?
Yes.
And how that did his knee get better?
He could not believe how strong he got. His shin splints, he said, completely, they disappeared.
Healed.
They healed. I do not believe from what he said that Hanya was happy that he went to Joe.
What?
Yes. So there was some, I know, Pilates drama. Yes.
God. So even though she wasn't a Pilates instructor or contrology, she was a dance pioneer. She felt a little jealous or threatened.
I think so. And the way he said it was that she liked to have a certain amount of control, shall we say. And so I don't think she appreciated the fact that he went ahead on his own.
Even though he was getting better and his knee healed.
Yes.
Okay. Now, at some point, he must have kept going because he was feeling good and probably very intrigued.
Yes.
At what point did Joe and Clara decide that he was going to assist them?
I think pretty much, it was not I think, I know that it was pretty much right away. So there is this belief, and people say that he made them practice for a certain amount of time. That wasn't the case with Lawrence. But I also know that they brought him on because they were leaving for Germany for vacation.
And he was to hold down the fort?
Yes. So I feel like they had a lot, they didn't have a lot of time to get him in there and get him going before that they could leave. Was my understanding of it. Yes.
Did he start teaching?
He started teaching right away.
Oh, that's bold.
Yes. But again, I think it was out of desperation.
When he did start to document, did Joe and Clara, maybe this is too analytical, but did they sit him down and say, we have this idea that we want to take the work to the masses and we need someone to write it in a way that would, no, nothing like that?
No, I don't think it was like that. From what Lawrence said, he was just trying to document everything. So he did have a lot already done on his own. He was always creating. That's for certain. So we know,
Joseph.
Yes, we know that the method, and he said that the method would always have progressed. It would have always progressed. That was his intention. That was directly from Lawrence, that he was very strict about that. I will say that one of the first things that Lawrence said to me on the phone, because I was so excited and so passionate, he said, do not put Joseph in this position of being a god, because he is not that. He was a man, and he was incredibly giving and shared everything that he knew and really genuinely helped people. He did believe that his method would heal the world. He really did. Unfortunately, we didn't get to see that so much in his lifetime. Even with the amount of people that he had already helped so much, right? So I think that's something to consider as well.
Lawrence started as a student for 2 seconds and then became a teacher.
Yes.
Was he already teaching perhaps fellow dancers that had heard about Joe?
He was teaching some of his friends, and then he started teaching his own clients.
Did he know enough about the apparatus that he could put them on the reformer and then take them to the Cadillac? Did he know enough of the system?
So when he first got there, that was the plan was he worked out every day. He observed. So he was an apprentice. And that's exactly what Joe wanted him for, is to be an apprentice, not a client, so to speak. And that is, I think, what directed him more into photographing and copying all of the equipment. And it was kind of like they left him and said, study this, and that's how you're going to learn. And he was like, wait, what?
And he was a trial by fire.
Yeah. He was a little overwhelmed for sure, but he said he didn't have another choice. That was the choice that was given, and he did what was asked of him.
Did he ever mention some of the other students that are now what we call the elders? Did he see them in there, whether it was Carola or Romana or Jay?
So he had not heard of Jay.
He didn't?
No, he didn't. Okay. But again, California, right? California, New York, he might not have. He had heard of Romana. So he had some dealings with Romana as well. But Carola, I just found this out recently, was that there was a connection with him and Carola. And when I first started speaking with him, he was the one that told me, you have to find a Carola teacher. You must find a Carola teacher, because she taught the most like Joe at that time.
Yes.
At that time.
When you see footage of her teaching, it seems very obvious.
Yes.
And did you find a teacher that worked under Carola?
Deborah Lesson.
Okay.
There's nobody better. I mean, she's just in a field all her own. And so much respect for that woman. She's unbelievable.
Speaking of our dance connection and the dancers at that time, Hanya Holm choreographer included.
Sure.
We know that the physical culture movement influenced Joe, as well as these dance pioneers that were mostly all women. Did Joe ever talk about that?
So that's the first thing that Lawrence said to me. Second thing, after, do not put him in a God platform, because he would not be happy with that. God status, he wouldn't be happy with that. He did say, be careful of what you say, because it is not his method. And I was like, oh, breaks on what? And he said, no, it is Bess Mensendijk. And people weren't even discussing her at this time.
Say the name again.
So Bess Mensendijk.
Okay, so that might be new to most listeners.
Sure. And if you start researching her, you will see that there were similarities. I can send you that information as well, but she was in New York at the same time. But he said that the method came from her.
Is she German?
And he always corrected me on that. Yes. But raised in New York, though, I believe.
Okay. So was it like a dance warm-up?
Her work was more therapy and physical culture movement, but she did a lot of work. The more I researched it, she did do a lot of work with women.
How did Joe emulate her? Did he study with her, or how did those two paths cross?
I am not sure of that, only that I know that they were in the same areas at the same time.
Okay, osmosis.
And Lawrence said, that was something that was, I don't want to say secretive, but it's not something that Joe discussed.
Do you think that Joe didn't discuss it because he really wanted to give the impression this all came out of his brain?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
As the Contrology system was evolving, though, did Lawrence ever tell you anything about the environment in the studio that he was documenting? Or was there a specific protocol? Like some of us definitely, maybe I can only speak for myself being a Virgo, but, you know, you come in, you take your shoes off.
There was.
Yes. And there's a way in which you treat the apparatus, the way you treat your own body when you're on the apparatus. Was there that kind of emphasis?
For sure. There absolutely was. And autonomy was taught straight away. And that is part of the method. You know, it is a way to organize the body, to have people be self-sufficient so then they can go out and live their lives. And so that attention to the details was important for sure. And it was expected that you did follow the rules. There were rules.
But that was Joe's take. It wasn't that he learned that from...
No. That was Joe.
And maybe his training.
Sure.
Previous training.
Yeah, I believe so. But I also believe that it's just, that's how the studio was run. There was structure and... You know, you did what Joe said.
Lawrence?
There wasn't any qualms about that.
Yes, it sounds like it. So Lawrence at some point moved in with them?
He stayed there. He lived there. And then on the weekends, he would go up to Beckett.
With the two of them?
For assisting help there as well.
At Jacob's Pillow or just at the cabin?
At the cabin.
Was Jacob's Pillow happening at that point?
I'm not sure. Lawrence wasn't there. He only talked to me about Joseph and Clara's place in Beckett.
And what did he do up there?
He slept on the mats. He stayed there. He lived there for this period. And he documented everything. That was kind of his... learning, and he was asked to document everything, and he actually would come up and have meals. Like Joe would often come up and bring him food, or Claire would come up and bring him food. He did come down to the house on occasion to have dinner with them and meals with them, and the other Hannah. Well, that's Hannah. That's not Hannah. That's Hannah. Yes.
Whatever happened to her?
apparently she moved down to Florida. So I was so close. Yes, when I started my research, I found Lawrence had told me she was down in Florida, and I started to do some research, but there wasn't a connection there. I think that she had just kind of left that behind and was here to live her life. My understanding is that she still continued to do Pilates. She had a brother here as well, but I'm not really sure more past that, because Lawrence and her, it was quite a combative situation, is my understanding.
She was Joe's, what do you call her, mistress?
I guess that's one word for it. Lawrence said she was his driver and other things. So, yes.
A driver. Well, we could take that in a lot of different ways. Okay, so she was in the picture for a long time, and
for sure.
She got along with Clara.
Not to take anything, pardon me.
And she got along with Clara.
I think there was a level of respect there from what Lawrence had said, yeah. He didn't ever mention that there was ever any issues between Clara and her. Her and Joe would get into a few loud arguments, but...
So she was in the studio practicing too.
She was. She was assisting, for sure.
So she taught as Lawrence taught.
Yes, she did.
Are there any contrology-based notes or memos that Lawrence has given you that you haven't shared publicly? And if so, is there anything you can share here?
Sure. I will send you this one that I have that we discussed, but there's a standing sequence that, because Lawrence would say to me, he's like, you have to think about the mat is the work, right? But then where are you going to be able to do? You have to be able to do that standing up as well. And as soon as he told me, I was like, wait, what? And, you know, a million things go off in your head when you're so passionate about the method. And it wasn't until he sent me his book, and mine was very much, like I showed you the pictures, they're very grainy. It's not they're loose leaf papers. So I kind of really didn't understand a lot of what it was, even though my background had been really strong already at that point. But I didn't know of this pre-existing work either. So the eye charts, I didn't know about any of that. The V-bed, I think we had heard rumors at that point about it, but it wasn't until Lawrence that really just totally changed my entire perspective of contrology.
There was a standing mat?
Yes.
Okay, because some of us teach parts of the mat standing.
For sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
It makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely it does. Absolutely it does.
But Joe had a very specific order?
I don't know that it's a specific order. Like when I look at it, it was like leg exercises, a lot of leg exercise, a lot of placement of the pelvis issues, lying down on the floor.
Did he do a standing 100?
He did, yes. And that should also, Lawrence would say that should be your walk. When you're out walking, because he's very strict about the walking, that you should be doing it automatically during your walks. That should be how you're warming up for your walk, how you're getting out, you're getting going. Get your arms moving.
So I was just going to say the pumping action.
Yes. And the footwork, right? The footwork is to pump the blood back up to the heart, and it's to enliven the system, get it going. And he was very strict about that as well. Yeah, this walking wasn't just a leisurely walk. I mean, it was quite vigorous. And there was always an opportunity to do your Pilates. So there wasn't an excuse not to do it, because you can add it in and you can incorporate it into your daily walk, which we should all be doing anyway, from his perspective, right?
Now, Joe didn't call his work Pilates.
No, contrology.
Yes.
And Lawrence corrected me on that right away. And I was like, that's a horrible sounding name.
I love it.
Did you? My first thing was like, I said, oh, that doesn't sound nice.
It's very unique.
It is very unique. And it was the time too, you know, the reformer, the Cadillac, you had these names.
The guillotine.
Yes, exactly. That were, for that time, they were fine. We would never probably really name something that the reformer now at this point.
But he called it the universal reformer.
Yes, he did. Yes.
Okay, so you have information, or you have a part in the book, or loose pages that Lawrence
loose
left.
Pages.
Yes, about this standing routine, a sequence.
Yep.
Then we have the eye chart.
Eye exercises there, and they were. And it's funny, I was just going back through them today, and I was like, "Ah, the eye work." But the eye chart, so is when I went to Lawrence's, I saw it right away and I didn't think anything of it until I was leaving. I said, "What is that?" And he said, "It's an eye chart."
Was it hanging up?
But he looked at me
was
like,
"Was it hanging up?"
It was sitting at his desk, in front of his desk on the wall. And I asked, I said, "That's very different. What is that?" And he says, "It's Joe's eye chart." I said, "What? Wait, back up. What are you talking about, an eye chart?" He said, "What makes you think if you don't exercise the entire body that you're not exercising the eyes? You have to exercise your eyes." And then going through the notes, I was like, "Oh, it's right there." He did talk about that. So it's really interesting to see that, you know, the eye rolls and the eye charts. That being said, he had this circular eye chart, which actually they called the kaleidoscope. I do remember him calling it a kaleidoscope.
Can you describe that for our listeners?
Sure. It's circular and it's divided up into pie shapes. And it goes, the innermost circle is small. There are small letters. The second set is larger letters. And the third set is their numbers.
I wonder why that is. Why do you go from numbers to letters?
Right. I'm not sure. And he didn't, and that's it. It's funny that you said that, because I remember asking, "Well, how do you use it?" And he was like, "It's an eye chart." He was just so annoyed by the question. And it's circular. And he said, "What's the pattern that your eyes make? Once you start to think about it," because our standing eye charts, if you look at what an eye chart is, so you'll go to, when you go to the eye doctor, they're vertical.
Linear. Uh-huh.
Right? So he said the same thing. He's like, "You do the same thing here. You cross, and then you have to go up and down, and then circular, and then on the diagonals."
And then what do you call out the name or number?
Yes. So you do the entire sequence. So I'll explain to you. You do the outer circle first, the outer numbers first, the second, then you do the second sequence, and then the innermost sequence. And then you reverse the direction. You're starting with the innermost to the outer.
Okay. So you're moving your eyes and you're using your mouth to say T or P or seven. Oh, okay.
Yes. And then you go on the diagonals as well.
Okay. And
then you do the entire sequence again, covering one eye.
Wow. Now, what is the benefit ultimately?
You're exercising. Sure, you're exercising and lubricating your eyes. So if you lubricate your spine, you should be lubricating your joints, your eyes.
Did Joe believe that this was part of a daily workout?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. I know, it's exciting, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, well, that makes sense, because he has the hands tensometer. He has the toe corrector,
absolutely.
So our extremities.
Yes. Yes. And the pivoting on the high chair, the handles that pivot, right? The shovel handles, they rotate.
They do?
On the original chair. Yes.
Okay, wait, say more about that.
Okay. So the first time I had heard about this, Lawrence had said something, and I just kind of like in passing, I was like, okay. And it wasn't until I saw a picture at Sean's.
Sean.
I was like, what are those? Sean Gallagher, okay. And that I was like, what are those? And he's like, shovel handles. And it was only then that I started putting all of it together, like, That's what he meant.
Okay, so a lot of us who have the electric chair or high chair have the shovel handles.
Yes.
But the handles don't move.
So the poles, they should move. I'm not sure.
Mine's super old, from 96 or something.
Oh, yeah. So they, back in the day, they had a screw in them. So he would just kind of screw them in to block them in place. But you could also unscrew that so they would move.
Where are they moving to?
So they would rotate. Rotation.
So you're doing pronation and supination?
Yes.
With the forearms?
Yes. And from the shoulder girdle. So when, right? So it would be this.
Oh, that makes sense at what gymnasts do, male gymnasts in particular.
Correct.
Oh,
yes.
I wonder why they stopped manufacturing that little component.
Probably, like everything else, somebody probably got hurt.
Okay, so the same idea with the handles on the reformer when we do the swivel.
Yes. Yes, they have to swivel. And that's what, and again, I asked Lawrence about that. He was, again, kind of dumbfounded. He said, yeah, they have to swivel. And it wasn't until recently. So anytime on the ladder barrel, I have always taken out my top rung and replaced it with a swivel bar. I've always done it. I'd never seen that until recently. If you look really close at the archival pictures, it looks like exactly what Lauren said. There was a screw that could stabilize it and hold it in place. But it would be the same function.
So if you're doing short box, for example, you're sitting on top of the barrel, your feet are underneath the top rung. If it's swiveling, the stability has to happen more in the center, because there's all this play happening in the ankle joint. Is that what it is?
Correct. But then they also, if somebody wasn't ready for that, that's where the screw would
go in,
prevent that moving. So I think there's two things of that. I think that, like, several years ago when we found out that the ladder barrel actually moved.
Yeah, mine's solid. Yes.
Right? For so many years, everybody was like, oh, it's fixed and it's just this one size. And that's not true. It moved.
So originally, Joe had the ladder barrel moving on a track.
Yes.
Or something.
Yeah. But that's what Lauren said. He said it was adjustable. That there was another one, though, that was fixed. So he said there was a fixed and one that moves. So I'm not sure if it was the same one, but we do know this from Joe's work that he often had two pieces of equipment or several pieces of equipment that he was working on.
That makes me think about the pedipole. And for a long time, we just thought there was one. And then the one with the seat. How did that come about in terms of?
Sure. If you think about it, right, our feet, if somebody's not stable, you're going to cut that amount in half. And like Lawrence would say, the knee becomes the fulcrum. So you want to omit that and have them on a better base, which is the behind, so to speak. Those are his words. So it made sense.
Have you worked on both pedipoles?
No, I haven't. I haven't worked on the one with the seat.
So you can sort of recreate it. You can sort of, yeah. And I'm sure a lot of people have done that.
For sure. And that's, I think, the biggest thing. Like, Lawrence just had such a matter of factness about the method, and he didn't like a lot of questions, nor did Joe. Joe did not ask questions. Right. And they didn't want
so
to,
silly.
Their time wasted by it, because they were like, figure it out. They'll figure it out by moving.
It's true, right? But.
It's very true. But we still want to be able to know.
Yes. So, we're curious.
And that's right. We're curious.
Respect.
Now. That's right. We are. And we question a lot more now. Like,
why?
Being curious is super important.
Yes. Like, who would have thought that this top rung would be able to swivel? And what
to pivot.
And then that just opens up a whole new world.
I think everybody should do it. Doesn't matter what brand you have. Change out your top rung, please. I have mine here. And it blew my mind once I started doing it. And I was like, I don't understand why the manufacturers aren't doing this. I have never seen it in a studio either, but I've done it and it's just beneficial.
Can you give an example of one exercise that you do on the ladder barrel?
Where the pivoting is important? Sure. Uh-huh. So mm-hmm. if I do a standing roll back, my arms going back, a lot of times if I'm super tight in my chest, so my bar is extended, it's also extended. It pivots, but it's also extended further out on the ends. So I have a 4 and a 6 that I extended it to. I prefer the 6. And you want to get it, I mean, you can just get it at Home Depot, anything like that. But if I'm super tight on my shoulders and my upper back, that my thoracic, if it's tight, I'm specifically for me, my traps, then I'm going to want to create a wider base that supports that until I can then bring it in. It's great for men because it is so much wider and they are tighter. And how many times have we put somebody on it where they're just like crunched up and we just had more expansion and it totally changes the exercise as far as the safety and the function of that for them.
But the dowel is moving.
Uh-huh.
So are you gripping differently?
Nope, same grip.
But
same
it's,
grip.
It's,
so as you go back, yep, you just extend and you'll feel it. It also moves side to side, same thing. And you're just stabilizing the shoulder differently. And Lauren said that it was great for tighter individuals, that should be. But if you looked even on the chairs, I know on Lawrence had also different, very primitive pieces of equipment, shall we say? And a lot of times they extended. So they extended the footbar. It really is. Like, it's a wider base. So it's
more intuitive. It's more intuitive.
It is so much more intuitive. It is so much more intuitive, says the woman that's like, 5'11", getting on these small pieces of equipment. And important work.
I wonder why these, wouldn't even call them nuances, but I wonder why these different components weren't important enough. Like when Romano went to Graz Industries, she had some of Joe's original equipment. So why didn't, maybe some of the original equipment were not the oldest of the iterations?
Sure. So I did have a workout partner, somebody that I went through the program with, and she had Basel.
Which program did you go through?
Authentic.
Okay.
Yeah, so she was with me under Brett Howard.
Okay.
And she had equipment that was being made, and she had said to Basel, she said, the ladder barrel is adjustable. He says, no, it's not. No, it's not. He goes back and he looks at it. Well, it was painted. So he couldn't move it. So they did not know. But that was Mitzi Miller is her name. And she was the one that was like, that moves. I'm pretty certain that moves.
That's fascinating.
So it's a great, and that's kind of how we find things out. I don't think back in the day we questioned it as much. I know for me, I certainly didn't. I was the tall girl in the studio that wasn't a dancer. And you kind of went through things. And it wasn't a time that, or the teachers weren't that you would be like, oh, hey, let's discuss this.
Oh,
just wasn't the time.
Yeah. Was that in the early 90s?
So no, to say during my lessons, anytime that I'd gone for lessons, it was just not something that was never discussed. No, Brett, he took over the program in, 2002, maybe? So I'd say that was in there, but that wasn't before that, even at Power Pilates, it's just something you never asked. It was, and I was there at their flagship opening when they were on 14th Street.
14th
and what? It was 14th and Broadway. So right above, I guess it would have been the Aveda store, and they shared the space with John Friend. So it was, you walked in, and the left was a Pilates studio, and on the right was yoga. So it was an interesting combination. It was a large space. So
Joe would have liked that, I think. Because he was influenced by yoga.
He was, but it's not something that he was very careful to say. And I used to tease Lawrence because I was like, it's all yoga. He was like, it is not. It is not yoga. And
for sure.
He was very upset with it. And he said, just be careful you're not saying that. But
yes.
Now look back at it. And you can't say that it's not influenced in some manner, just like gymnastics, right?
For sure. Hey, everyone. Want to level up your teaser? When I'm not interviewing or editing, I'm helping students just like you get to the next level. If you'd like to understand the Contrology technique, come learn from me, whether online or in person. Just know I'm here and happy to help. Now, back to the interview. Well, what about the V-bed?
Sure. So the V-bed, well, I was
it's
told...
It's not called the bednasium?
It is called the bednasium, right? It is the bednasium. But the V-bed, I have my picture and it just says V-bed. And
okay, so the V-bed wasn't the bednasium.
The bednasium. The V-bed, no. The V-bed, it just says V-bed on this one.
Okay, so the bednasium, that's a little bit like the...
Can you see?
Yeah, I can see
it's very similar. So when Lawrence gave me this, he said that, because I was like, that's weird. That's kind of the one that everybody was talking about. Like, how do you use that? But in the second picture, you see there's a board over it. So it does become, Lawrence said, you just put a board over it. Then it becomes...
It's like a tower, a combo that people have.
It's a tower, right. It's the original combo tower, right? He said that it did come from book holder or a book cradle, that's what we would know it to be, a book cradle. That was after that because it protected the spine of the book. And that just also blew my mind. And as soon as I started researching that, I'm like, he's not wrong.
So this is Joe's. Also Joe's.
That was, yes. I mean, that we know. Who knows? We're finding out so much more now.
Okay.
And he had all kinds of things that he made. But like I said, some of the pieces that I saw, it was very, very primitive. It wasn't, obviously, it's not like what we see today. But if you look back over Joe's pictures and a lot that has come out, it was primitive then too. And he was just kind of making things on his own.
With his brother, Fred?
Yeah. But mostly on his own. Like he was just
tinkering.
Tinkering would be an appropriate word for that. Yes.
What do you think he would think about his studio now?
I'm sorry. Can you elaborate on that?
What do you think his thoughts would be at how his studio has evolved, 939 8th Avenue, how his studio is now compared to when it was his?
I think that he wanted it his way. And that's, as my understanding, and that's what I was told, there's one way, and that is the way. And there wasn't really any area for expansion, or there really wasn't. But it is interesting that he said that. But then he also, in the second breath, he said the method would always expand.
Without him.
So I found that very interesting. I think it would expand under Joe.
Oh, with him.
That's what he meant. Yes, yes, yes.
So he was always forward thinking.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if there was any, I don't want to say signs of competition, but if there was something or anybody that was doing anything in the same genre, in the same area even, he would go and check them out. So he wasn't shy about that. And I feel my understanding is that he was very open to learning. So we're presented often with this fact that he was somewhat closed-minded and secretive. But I think that was to protect where the work came from. And we do know that, what is her name? Bonnie Pruden. At the same time, those two must have been neck and neck for some competition because... Fitness pioneer on her own, of her own right, rock climber, just amazing. And there's various incredible similarities between the two. I have a picture. I did research and Lawrence gave me her name. I had not known before this. And he gave me her name and told me to research her. And it was through him giving me the name that I started to see the door in Jim at a bar that she used. And you start researching it and you're like, ooh, what's going on here? So there was a lot of similarities. I'm happy to send you that picture as well. I'm just so happy to share it because at the time when I was doing this research, I would call my Pilates friends and they were like, cool. But that was as far as it went. Like, we were interested in it, but nobody else really was, even in New York City. I started researching in 2002 heavily. Nobody really cared.
I think there's a renewed, if we can use that word.
Absolutely is. Absolutely is. And it's wonderful to see.
Anything else that Lawrence shared with you? For example, did he have any kind of special relationship with Clara?
He did. He said that Clara was primarily the teacher. So she did so much. And where Joe was so rough around the edges, she was the smoother. And she definitely smoothed out anything that he kind of created with a lot of the clients. There was that. There was tension. And she definitely stepped in.
Was she as hands-on as Joe?
Hands-on, yes, but not in the aggressive way, I want to say.
Okay.
He said her touch was caring and it would, what's the word that he used? Well, he said that when she put her hands on you, you knew it. And it was to coax you to go further, but not force, if that makes sense.
Yes, because there's footage where you see Joe pushing that one guy, pushing his head down.
Right. And I asked him about that. He said that a lot of that was, yes, he did do that. But a lot of that, when that camera or when there was, he was a salesman. And when that was there, that came on and he was selling something, right? And it was his method. So that definitely, there was that, shall we say, force that was used.
Did Joe ever express his dissatisfaction, like I said, and frustration I talked about in the opening, just that the medical industry just didn't get it. His work was too sophisticated, I'm sure, for that time.
Yes. And I think, and I know that Lawrence also said that in many ways, his aggressive nature was a detriment.
Off-putting.
Yeah. And when people would try to express that to him, that's pretty much where the conversation would end, unfortunately.
Oh, Joe.
I know.
Joe. He needed some therapy.
But I also feel like those were the times that Clara would step in and kind of...
She knew him rather well.
...clean things up. Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Yes.
Yes.
But he did say that she was incredibly caring. Just very kind, compassionate, and just wanted this so bad for Joe.
Yes.
Which is in and of itself really lovely, isn't it?
Very. What are your plans, future plans?
Ooh, as far as Pilates.
What are your future plans? Because you have a whole unique part of the Contrology story. So are you planning on curating it for something?
I am. I am planning on sharing it as much as possible. I've always felt very passionate and very open about sharing my work and anything that I did do and all my notes. I used to walk around New York City. If anybody knew me from New York, they knew that I would bring it into studio and lay out everything and you could touch it. You could do whatever. I have some original equipment that I'm really proud of that I would love to see them bring
back.
I would love to see, my chair. I love my chair for sure. And there were some other pieces that nobody talks about, that there were smaller, almost like support, like arch. I'll tell you exactly what it was without giving away too much. But again, I want to give it away because it's something that is missing from our work. So we have our spine correctors, our barrels, but he also had smaller versions of those, which would, I guess we would assume that they were like a neck pillow.
Sort of like his interpretation of props.
Right. But again, if you start to look, if you go back to look at the antique book cradle, or I shouldn't say even antique, you could just look at a book cradle and you start to see that, oh yes, this is definitely where a lot of this was, where this was invented, shall we say, or borrowed from and inspired by, for sure. And he had sandbags. Nobody talks about that.
Except for the wrist.
Right. Right.
What did he call it? The beanbag device? Did he call it that?
It was just, Lawrence just said bean, wrist corrector.
Wrist curl. Oh, okay.
But he also just, the beanbags, like that's exactly what they were. But they were known to go out and fill up. There was a, for lack of a better term, I guess a cotton bag is what Lawrence had several of. And they would just fill them. So they were creating their own sandbags. But there were lengthened ones too. They had them at different lengths.
Depending on the height of the person.
To support, correct. Depending on the person, depending on what part of the body that they were securing down, which, unbelievable.
That's interesting.
I was like, wait, what? So we're so used to having, and sandbags are, they're kinder to the body, but he would weigh down the thighs with them and the ankles.
Yes.
And Lawrence had them as well. But again, they made a lot of their own things. Like when I started asking him about what manufacturers, what this, what that, he was just like, you just made it. And that was one of the first things he gave me that I put up on his website and my own, on my Instagram, was the measurements for the mat. And you should be making your own equipment. So those are on both of mine, Pure Pilates MIC on Instagram, and on Lawrence Hayward Contrology.
Did the original mat have the hump?
No, not this one. Yes, there was one with that. Remember, we had several. But this one was just the mat that Lawrence was saying, you have to make this. Okay. I always found that interesting. He's like, just make this. What? Okay. But they used what they had too. Like Lawrence had bits of wood. And you see a lot of Joe's pictures that he had slices of wood. They would arch over those. It was a chair. It was also a, you know, it was a mini spine corrector. It was a mini barrel, but they were just pieces of wood. They were a trunk.
And the barrel idea came from the keg?
Yes.
Okay, because that's what we were told. And then the magic circle was the steel metal.
That's what I was told as well.
Are there photos of Joe and Lawrence?
Yes. There's some up on my website. So my website, we're putting additional things up on it right now. So it's down, but on Instagram and on both of ours, so Pure Pilates NYC and Lawrence Hayward, there's pictures of them that I had put up a couple months ago of him and Joe.
And your website again, say it slowly.
PurePilatesNYC.com.
Okay. And at some point it will be up and ready for people to come and view and to look at what you're doing.
Oh yeah. I'm just adding more content onto it now. But you see like the spine corrector. I don't know if you got to see this with the moving arms on it.
No.
Did you see that when I posted? Yes.
Can you describe that?
Sure. So it is the spine corrector and it has, and they were removable obviously. And they're for rowing.
Wait.
They pivot. Yeah, they also pivot.
So
their arms that come out the side of the spine corrector. straight up and down, but it pivots. So you're getting that full range.
Okay, not dowels.
They're not dowels, handles, no.
They're not, they're handles?
There's a handle on them. So you would take the handle off anything else that we were using. And there's a spring on it as well, but it is attached to a pivoting full arm. And when I asked Lawrence, I was like, what is that? And he's like, it's your rowing your boat. And I was like, oh boy, this is it. So you just thought about the work completely differently.
Definitely.
So we are seeing now that so much of the work and the equipment that we're seeing, the original equipment did have interchangeable parts to it. And these popped on and off apparently. So in the first picture, you can see it down. It's straight out from her hip.
Yeah.
But then on the second picture, when she's arching back, it's towards the ceiling.
Yes. So that reinforces the idea, if one were to have practiced contrology in totality with everything that Joe imagined the body needed and was requiring,
yes,
it to experience based on his exercises, it really would be this full comprehensive experience.
Absolutely.
Opposed to what we have now, it's sort of segmented.
It's broken up, and it's, so it was never that, and it's always been, will always probably be, is if you're Joe's work, full body, complete engagement. And he did express to me that if somebody was having issues with spinal issues, or they couldn't get exercise done properly, you would always address what the spine is doing, which we know that to be true. And then adding in secondary, the extremities. But he said, you always have to look. And he was very, very matter of fact about everything. Like, I was like, okay, how do we change this? And he's like, Dale, you do your mat work. And he would get so frustrated. And he wasn't always
delicate in how he expressed himself.
Delicate would be a yes. His explanation was not that. It was very matter of fact. And often it could be harsh. And because he didn't understand,
how
he would be asking a question. Right. And I didn't. I was like, I don't get it. But then as soon as he said it, I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. And he was very matter of fact about it. You know, you address the spine, you address the pelvis first,
yes,
and foremost. This,
yes,
is what, right? And this is something that
the
we don't talk
first
about enough. Right. And then he said the extremities are always secondary.
Yes, I love it.
And what happens with most people is that they want to use the extremities because that's what they know.
Exactly.
And so they're going to do that. Brute force is just going to come. He's like, when you throw, and his example was, oh, when you're throwing something, what are you going to do in order to get that as far as you possibly can? You better make sure that you're in proper alignment and you're doing a hip to throw that, the distance. And he said a javelin. He often spoke about that. Like, what are you going to do? Or in fencing. Lawrence did talk about fencing quite a bit, which was interesting.
So fascinating. Do you see yourself writing a book?
I have to. So yes, I would love to. And I just didn't think in the past that there was the interest. There wasn't a demand for it. And I feel like now we're just starting to get to that point where people are truly interested in
history and legacy.
What the work was,
yes,
and an appreciation for it.
Yes.
Right? There's a lot of it that we is cringeworthy for sure today. Like,
yes,
there's just, you're like, whoa, but we still need to discuss it. We still need to be open and curious. And how can we continue to progress the method and keep people safe? That's the biggest thing.
Wonderful.
We want them, right? We want to teach people to take care of their bodies. And it shouldn't be that they're so reliant in a lot of schools. There's that.
On the teachers.
Yeah. And it shouldn't be that way. It was never meant to be that way either. And Joseph did not want it that
way. Autonomy.
taught autonomy from day one. That's the reason for the method. So you can go out. And the other thing I don't think is discussed enough is the connection. We've taken out mind, body, soul, mind, body, and people say mind, body. You cannot have the other two without the third. You just can't. And that was something that was preached in his work. And we really need to pay respect to that, I feel. And to take that time and how are we nourishing our spirits, our soul, and that's where nature comes into the equation. You can't have that without, we can't discuss contrology without the understanding that nature is such a part of that. And it is how we equalize our bodies. When you go out into nature, are you doing full expansive breaths?
Really? I just took a deep breath in.
Oh, yeah, we both did. And that's, I mean, that's something that's so important. The breath work is also equally important, as is the time to reflect upon our lives and recalibrate our bodies.
Yes.
And how are we doing that? How are we doing that? First and foremost, as instructors, because I'm sure I know for myself, I definitely took a step back a couple of years ago during an injury, and I felt very disheartened by the work. I really did. And there were just with everything that was going on within the industry, it didn't feel like a supportive space
at all
any longer. And it's not, we've lost that. And we all need to get back to that. It's regardless of what school you're from, there should be a level of respect for each other as humans. And we're all here to learn. And how do we challenge the work, but how do we spread the work? And how do we honor every person that is in front of us? There has to be that honoring of another human being. It's just not another body. It's a human being. You're dealing with an entire person. And again, mind, body, soul, mind, body, spirit needs to be together.
Dale Matzkow told us, beautiful, beautiful words.
Thank you. And there's one more.
Yes.
May I add something?
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you. There was that student that I mentioned that I had met in New York while I was still in New York. Right now I'm in Jupiter. So there was a student that I had met that entered a party and had the most incredible posture. And I knew right away he was a dancer. And not being from a dancer background, I was like, let me go see who this is, because he's got perfect posture. And of course, I start speaking to him. Yes, ex-ballet dancer, but also a client of Joseph and Clara Pilates. And while we were in this space for a poetry reading, it was him and I off in a corner and him just telling me all these wonderful stories about Joseph Clara. And one of the things that he said, he went there because he too was injured. He said that to the point that he was unable to do the work, unable to do the workout, and was flying on a plane, was going to LA actually. And he said, Joe, what's my homework? And he said, you can't, there's nothing you can do. Work your feet. Joe was really big into the feet.
Yeah.
And work your feet. But more importantly, and if you can't do them standing up, you do the work sitting down. Fine. But he said, more importantly, you need to, and he knew the mat. He said, you need to go through the entire mat in your head. So by you just, and of course I'm paraphrasing this, but he said, do the mat in your head, because that is going to help you heal your body.
Yes. Yes.
And then he said, when you get really good at, when you get back on the mat, you can do all the mat work. Here's something that I've never heard somebody discuss. I hope that it's something new and useful. Then you can reverse your order. I was like, what? So starting with the end all the way back through. And it makes sense, right? It makes sense.
Yes. I got that as a gymnast. We did that all the time. You have to.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I teach that. Yeah. I teach that way.
That's
yes,
fantastic.
Because our brains and our muscle memory get to a certain place where we can just check out and still go from hunter to seal. Then you have to start thinking about, oh, how do I reverse the order and everything? And if you start on the right, I used to have students that if we started standing on the right side of the reformer and we always led with the right,
mm-hmm.
some days we'd only do leading only with the left, and that tripped
That's
up
right.
people.
Yes, we did that. Same thing. But I had never, until he told me, I had never heard to do your reverse mat.
Yes.
Once you've gotten so great at it, or as great as you think you're going to be at it, to reverse it, because it just makes you think about the work very differently.
Yes, it's great homework for all of us.
Isn't it though? Isn't it
yes.
though? Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Dale. Thank you so much for sharing all that you know.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy and really honored to be here. And thank you for the opportunity to talk about Lawrence and get him out there more into the world and his memory and all that he has given us from Contrology.
All Things Pilates is produced, written, edited, and hosted by me, Darian Gold. Mastered audio mix, Fabian Romero. Original music, AKA Johnny. And we'd love for you to leave us a review on Apple Podcast or Spotify. That way you let all of us know what you like about All Things Pilates. Also, if you're interested in helping to support this podcast, become a subscriber. It helps to cover all the back-end costs that accrue when producing a show. To learn more about how you can be part of our growing community, check out our show notes. I hope you see things that startle you. I hope you feel things you've never felt before. I hope you meet people who have a different point of view. I hope you live a life you're proud of. And if you're not, I hope you have the courage to start over again. F. Scott Fitzgerald.